There are many who say they know him. They say, Lord, Lord, they believe they know him. But he will say on that day, depart from me. I never knew you. It'll be a shock to you. And God is a gracious God who does not want you to not understand where you stand before him, before you pass into his presence or before he comes.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you'll begin a look at the parable of the talents, or the parable that some people call the faithful and unfaithful stewards. You know, for most people, they consider this to be a parable about how to handle money.
You know, Dave, that's really true. And while there are direct and valuable references to how we are to handle our money, I really think it's far more than just a money passage. And I believe as we go through it, we're going to see that the Lord intended this passage to provide us with a picture of what a true believer looks and acts like. Our text is Matthew chapter 25. We'll be looking at verses 14 to 30. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Have you ever been surprised? Most everybody's been surprised in some way or another. Probably a lot of us have had surprise parties or whatever it might be, or you've had situations that have come upon you which totally surprised you or may have even shocked you. And in these moments, there can be either shock or joy, depending on what is happening. Well, for some of you here today, if things do not change in your heart, you are up for a shocker. You see, because the Lord God says that there are many who say they know him. They say, Lord, Lord, they believe they know him. But he will say on that day, depart from me. I never knew you. It'll be a shock. It'll be a shock to you. And God is a gracious God who does not want you to not understand where you stand before him, before you pass into his presence or before he comes. Throughout scripture, we've seen in so many different places that God so graciously confronts where we think we are with his word, that we would understand where we really are, that none would perish. You see, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would return and live. All souls are his. He is a gracious God, but yet he is a righteous God, and he will judge. Today we're going to see that the Lord Jesus, as we come near the end of Matthew 25, that the Lord God continues to confront Israel on the last week of his life concerning where they thought they were. And we see that Matthew, inspired by the Spirit, shares the Lord's words to a generation of tribulation disciples who are awaiting his coming, that they might not be deceived, that they might not think that they know the Lord. And when he comes, he says, I never knew you. So today we're going to find out, I believe, whether you and I are faithful slaves or not. We're going to see a kingdom parable which reveals and unveils make believers and true believers. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 30. Now, in our study of the book of Matthew, as most of you know who have been here through this book, Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord who is salvation. You shall name him Jesus, Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. The Lord is salvation. It is the great I am who came in human flesh to bring salvation for us. The Jews were sitting in spiritual darkness, those who would name the name of the Lord, those who had his word, those who said they followed the Lord of Scripture. They were sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, and a great light came upon them. That was Christ. And Christ shined forth his teaching, affirmed by the miracles, to reveal their sin, that they might repent and believe and enter through the narrow gate, Christ himself. We've seen the multitudes have rejected Jesus. He calls them an evil and adulterous generation. They are spiritually adulterous. They are going after another God, not the God who was in their midst, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were evil. They wanted signs and wonders rather than Christ in their midst. We saw the leaders who were phony from the beginning, hypocrites, who came out to be baptized, but yet John called them on their wickedness, those hypocrites, who warned them to flee from the wrath to come. They should have shown fruit in keeping with true, genuine repentance. And these leaders all along desired to kill Christ, to murder him. And that was their wicked desires. And we came to the last week of his life as he entered Jerusalem, and everyone was shouting for joy, "Hosanna, Son of David!" But yet Christ was weeping as he came in, sitting humble on a colt, weeping that they had missed their day of visitation. God had visited them and they had missed it. We saw him come into the temple and cleanse it from the religious wicked leaders who had made it a robber's den rather than a house of prayer. We saw Jesus teaching and preaching and receiving worship in the temple and the multitudes hanging on every word. We saw his authority challenged by the religious hypocrites, those in which the Lord would come back and challenge them and reveal their condemnation through three parables and seven woes to those hypocrites. And in the end of chapter 23, we saw the Lord's condemnation move from the religious leaders to Israel as a nation, as a whole, saying that they would no longer see him till he comes again, that their house would be left desolate, that God was bringing his discipline upon the nation until he would come again. And from this, the disciples in chapter 24 are curious because Jesus talked about the temple, this glorious temple, that not one stone would be left upon another. And they come to him on the Mount of Olives asking him a question. Four of the disciples come to him privately saying, "When will these things be?" Speaking of the destruction of the temple. And they were expecting Christ to come in his kingdom at any minute. That was their combination, their question. And they also said, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Matthew 24 and 25 is the answer to that last combined question. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What will we see that shows that you are coming in as king to establish your kingdom and the end of the age? And as we've come to Matthew 24 and 25, we see that Jesus is speaking to his disciples, but he is prophetically speaking to the generation that will be alive during the tribulation. He says even things like, "Let the reader understand." Well, they were not reading it at that time. He was speaking to his disciples. He's talking to a future generation that would be alive immediately preceding his visible return, his second coming. We see that they are in the great tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, Jacob's time of trouble. They're in the tribulation, a 7-year tribulation with the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation. And in chapter 24, we've seen that Jesus has laid forth the signs that they will see, these Jews, as they are seeing the signs of his coming. They will experience the birth pangs of the great tribulation. There will be deceptions and false Christs. There will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes and famines, but they were not to be afraid because this was not the end yet. Jesus made it clear they were just the birth pangs, the beginning of pains which would end in terrible tribulation labor. If the days were not cut short by God, no flesh would have remained. We saw within that 3.5 last years, that great tribulation, there would be a manifestation of a hate for Christ and a hate for the Jews and a hate for Jewish believers. We saw that there would even be their own brethren who would hate them and deliver them up as sin would increase and then the end would come. Now God was gracious to reveal us, we see in his word, that if they were in advance knowing what was going to happen, that this abomination of desolation would come upon them, if they were to be praying in advance knowing that they were going to need to leave Jerusalem in obedience to his word, that God would protect them. We see in Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13 that God protects his people by delivering them from Satan's hand manifest in the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, who will claim to be God in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And then as they are in hiding the last 3.5 years, the Jews who have obeyed the Lord, there are those who are going to say, "Jesus is here, Jesus is there," and Jesus makes it clear in this passage, "Do not believe them, for his coming will be like lightning as it comes from the east to the west. It will be visible and everyone will see, and it will come immediately after the end of the tribulation of those days." And these Jews would mourn. They would be saved finally, as we see in the word of God, that all Israel will come to repentance as a nation at that time. Not all Israel of all time, but Israel of that time after being heavily persecuted and purged and refined, as we see in Zechariah 14 and 13. Then we came in the end of chapter 24 where we saw some parables that the Lord gives. He talked about the fig tree's leaves. When they become tender, you know that summer's around the corner. You know that spring is moving on and summer is right there. So too is the coming of Christ. That generation alive in the tribulation will not die. They will be there when Christ comes, and they are to be ready and alert. You see, the tribulation will be like the days of Noah, where godless men and women are going about their business, ignoring the warnings of judgment. Yet his judgment will come like a flood, and they will not escape. And then we have another parable for them to be alert and ready, true believers, for his coming. And how is it that one is ready for the coming of Christ? The only way to be ready for the coming of Christ is to have your sins forgiven, because his second coming is in judgment. The only way to be ready for his coming is to have your sins forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, the day and the hour for those Jewish tribulation saints is not known. Their disciples, therefore, are to be on the alert. They are to be ready. And as we finish chapter 24, he gave another parable to make clear this point, that there was a blessed slave about his business. Yet in contrast, the wicked slave doesn't believe his master's coming back and goes about his own business. And God is warning those who name his name that if you are about your own business, that maybe you don't know the Lord, maybe you don't know him. If that's the way you live your life, you're not about Christ's business, you're about your own. And the theme continues into chapter 25. We saw the parable of the 10 virgins. That 5 were ready. 5 had their lamps ready and they had extra oil, and 5 were not. There were 5 wise and 5 foolish. And in this parable, we saw a comparison between true believers who are waiting for Christ and those who would name his name, thinking they're going to enter into this wedding feast, but yet really don't know him, as the Lord shuts the door and says, "I do not know you." A horrifying thing. God is gracious to reveal that if you are not ready for his coming, if you are not walking with him as an evidence of a changed life, you are in spiritual danger. And as we move into the parable of the talents today, we have the same theme as we move into chapter 25. So let's look at this parable right now, chapter 25, verse 14. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained you 2 more talents.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to every one who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But to the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" It's a pretty straightforward parable. And remember, this parable is about the kingdom. And a parable, as we know, parabole, the word para means alongside, bole means to throw. It is a story thrown alongside to illustrate something when explained. Now, there's a couple of things we need to understand when we look at this parable so that we do not get confused and misinterpret this parable. First of all, when it speaks of talents, it's not speaking of special abilities or talents as we think. The term talent speaks of a large sum of money. It's a large sum of money. It's speaking of money, and it is a parable. We'll see how it applies to our serving, but it is a parable. So when you see the word talent in there, don't think natural talent, ability, or whatever it is. Think of a large sum of money. Secondly, it is a kingdom parable. Look at verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. Now, the "it is" in italics in your NASB. That means the translators have supplied that, but they believe that is the intent of the inspired author as they have translated from Greek to English. Now, remember, if we go back to chapter 25, verse 1, look at what it says there. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to. He's really referring back to the kingdom of heaven. He's given one illustration there. He has given a parable in chapter 25. And then at this point in verse 14, he's saying four. He's explaining. He's talking about the kingdom, and he's going to give another explanation. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. It's a kingdom parable. And the context is these tribulation Jews awaiting the coming of Christ, the imminent coming of Christ, and that they need to be ready for his coming. That's the context of this parable. Now, I believe, first of all, we're going to see, as we look at this parable, we're not going to exegete every little verse and every portion. It's a parable. We do go verse by verse, but we need to understand the story in its context, this parable. And then from there, we can understand the intended meaning that the Lord wanted us to know and understand. Now, first of all, I believe we're going to see the responsibility in context of those awaiting his return. As Jesus illustrates in this parable, the responsibility to those who would name his name, that responsibility entrusted. Verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. It's a man going on a journey. He has his own slaves. They are his property. And he entrusts his possessions. It's his property to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Remember, that's a large sum of money. And to another he gave 2 and another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Obviously, this is a kingdom parable. In its context, it's speaking of the Lord as the one who is this master. He has gone on a journey between his first and second comings. This is obviously what he's talking about. And he will come back and hold account those who name his name. And notice he gave varying amounts to these slaves. And if you were in this culture, slaves were not the way we look at slavery these days. Slaves were those almost like hired men in a sense. Slaves across this time could have varying talents and abilities. They were like employees of the master in a sense. And he says here, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And again, the term talent speaks of a large sum of money, not an ability or a special aptitude. Now, it's important that we realize he gives differing amounts in this parable. It's important we see 5, 2, and 1. Now, commentators disagree on the exact amount of how much this is, but it's thought that a talent was worth 6,000 denarii, 6,000 days' wages. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So he gives differing amounts, 5 to 1, 2 to another, and 1 to another. And then notice, very important, middle of verse 15, each according to his own ability. This master understood exactly what each one could do, and there was an expectation with that. He gave 5 to the one whom he understood according to his ability, 2 to the other according to his ability, and 1 according to his ability. And in this context, it's the ability, as we will see, to gain wealth for the master. That's the context. It's a parable. The master knew exactly what each slave could do and had expectations based on their ability. And he gave them and entrusted them differing amounts of wealth accordingly. Now, obviously, again, this is a kingdom parable. The king represents the Lord, who is away between his first and second comings. who is coming is right around the door for these tribulation disciples that Jesus is speaking to prophetically in Matthew 24 and 25. The Lord is showing us here, as we will see, that there are those who name his name. There are those who are naming his name. They believe they are his slaves. They believe they are his bond slaves. That's what this parable is about. But yet we're going to see that their actions evidence something to the contrary. And in the context here, we see that he gives to those who name his name differing abilities. And in the body of Christ, he gives us differing abilities, as we will see. There are some who are very talented naturally, natural talents. Some who have higher intellects than others. Some have more spiritual gifts than others. God gives each according to as he desires, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as the Spirit desired to give out those gifts. And so here we see the parable, the Lord gives them responsibilities in the context of exactly what they were to do. He's not asking them in the parable to do the impossible, but what was according to their ability. It's important to see that. And then the text says he went on his journey. Again, the parable represents the time between his first and second comings. It's a parable. It's a story. We don't want to go down to every detail and try and make each part fit. It won't work that way. It's a story to illumine truth. And likewise, we as the body of Christ, God, as we will see, does the same thing with us. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us special abilities by his Spirit to serve him. We have natural talents. We have differing opportunities. Not everyone is the same. Not everyone's opportunity is the same. And I think it's really important to see there were five given, two given, and one given. There is a differing amount, but as we will see later on, the one with five and the one with two, each were told, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little." Every true believer has kingdom responsibility. You see, when you were saved, you were delivered from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's the sphere and reign of Christ. We saw in 1 Peter chapter 4, turn there with me, 1 Peter chapter 4, that every true believer has been given a special gift. And if you weren't here with us a few weeks ago when we went through 1 Peter 4, I'd encourage you to get the CDs and look at what God has to say about spiritual gifting and how he wants us to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received, it's already happened, a special gift, employ it in serving one another. It's a command. You need to do it. Serving one another. It's for the body of Christ. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They are grace gifts. We function in the context of grace. We trust Christ. Nothing from us. Everything from him. Each one is a steward. You are responsible. You are a steward for what God has given you. And there will be an accounting. And you will see whether you were a good and faithful slave or whether you were a wicked and lazy slave. These are the categories of spiritual gifts. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Faithful slaves speak God's word by God's strength if they have speaking gifts.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, you spoke about the importance of developing and utilizing your talents for the Lord's glory and not your own. So how do you know if your motives are correct?
You know, Dave, the best way to protect yourself from serving with the wrong motive or motives is to live a life that is consistently in line with Scripture, humbly serving in the power of Christ rather than your own strength. And Dave, it's also very important to note, as in our parable today, that we're not to compare ourselves with what others have. You know, the one steward received far more than the others, and that potentially would have been very easy for the other to complain or whine about what they were given. And indeed, when that happens, our motives are clearly out of line. We're seeking glory for ourselves rather than for the living God. And so, friend, as you serve, be sure to keep short accounts regarding your motives. Stay humble, confess sin, and serve in the power and strength of our Lord.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.